Welcome to the Filipina Journey Podcast. I am Isabel, your one and only host. Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to everyone listening. This podcast is about the life of a little brown lady, a Filipina who loves to take people on her expedition that is life. From her high school experience, to sports, to culture, to family, and to many more. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Let's go!
Welcome back to the Filipina Journey Podcast. I have here Leanne joining me. She's the CEO and co-founder of 2XU and a remote executive assistance service company that specializes in working with creative entrepreneurs in packaging that chaotic entrepreneurial genius with a highly trained executive assistant. And she also has a coaching brand, The Virtual Ate, where she trains people on how to work from home. She is also an international speaker and a content creation monster who has a blog, a YouTube channel, and an upcoming podcast. Welcome. Hello.
Hi, Isabel. Happy to be here.
Yes. My first question lang. How are you? How are you doing there in your home? Are you okay?
So far, so good here in Cebu. Not too bad of a lockdown, just the 11 p.m. curfew. So far, so good. How about you?
I'm doing great as well. It's a bit more chaotic here in Manila compared to the province there. Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing great. So this episode is about leadership. So yes, you have your own YouTube and you're basically an influencer. But I want to talk about being a leader. Since you're also a CEO, it comes with leadership. But before we tackle that, can you tell me, how did you start being a CEO? How did you start your YouTube channel and all that?
So for me, my journey really started when I was 15 years old and I started working from home. I started as a writer. I had someone who was kind of following my blog and then said, hey, can I just pay you to write for my blog? So that's kind of how I got started working online. And then at 18 years old, I'm not sure if you remember, but about 7 years ago, there was the Typhoon Yolanda. And that was the time that everything kind of switched for me because I was right into Cleveland City. The water was coming into our house. It was neck high for me already. So it was very, very, like I had the, your life flashes before your eyes kind of moment. And that's when I was like, okay, I want to change my life. I want to do something different. I want to do something where I'm really following the things that I want in life. So that same, not same year, but 7 months later, I moved here to Cebu City on my own. I started a job as a book editor for a US publishing company. So I was still kind of working from home. I just needed a different environment. Yeah. And then that same US publishing company 2 years later, I ended up becoming CEO of it. I became a manager, became the head of marketing, and then eventually got picked and trained to become CEO. 2 years later, I wanted to start my own business, which is 2XU. And it really started as me wanting to provide a service that was kind of the draw for me was creating with book publishing. It was just, we were producing books, we were producing magazines, we were producing apps. And it got to the point of like, what would it look like if we were providing a service? And it started out as something that, oh, what if social media services? That was at that time, that was all the rage of starting a social media agency. Right. And then I was like, no, I was talking to my own mentor. I was talking to people and they said, what if it's a high level assistant? What if it's an assistant who helps people not just get things done, but also helps them run their business so then they can focus on growing their business. So that's kind of how 2XU got started.
Yeah, wow, that's such a great start. And it's amazing how you started young, 15, right? Mm. Yeah, that's amazing. So a little background lang about me. I have quite an experience also becoming a leader and starting my own podcast and managing social medias. So I was a leader and officer in a few organizations and also in my sports. And can you tell me, like, what's the difference between leading in like a small community compared to leading, like being a CEO, leading in a big company?
the biggest difference for me is when you're leading, because I've had both, you know, I've started, you know, 2XU is a perfect example of, it's still not small, it's almost medium sized, but it's still where I'm still the direct manager, versus when I was running the book publishing company where I had several managers underneath me. So that's the biggest difference, I guess, is when you are leading now a company or leading a bigger group, you're also responsible. It's not anymore, you're just directly going for the results. You're now directly going for the results that the people you work with make. So that's kind of the biggest difference, is that shift of like, I'm not anymore the one who's responsible to get us 1,000 book sales, for example. I'm now responsible to make sure that the people who work with me are now getting that 1,000 book sales to be able to grow the company.
Yeah, I actually agree. Like right now I'm getting into college and then I started internships, and it's really different if you're working with a small community or just like your teammates and all that, compared mm-hmm. to working with strangers, people I don't know, I'm working with them, haven't met them mm-hmm. because I just started online. And yeah, it's really different. The workflow, exactly. It's different. And yeah, I really get to see the difference as well. May I ask you, what's making all this YouTube, CEO, company and all that, was this your plan when you were young? Did you really want this when you were young?
So that's the funny part that kind of really changed when Typhoon Yolanda happened, because my original plan was to become a lawyer and then work overseas. So the usual kind of Filipino OFW path, that was kind of my plan. Because at that time, of course, we didn't know about working from home. We didn't know that we can earn almost the same amount of money that we would be earning outside of the Philippines, because now we can bring over that economy here in the country without having to leave the country. So that's it all changed just because of Typhoon Yolanda. I didn't think about you doing all of this. A lot of this has come up in the last 3 years of doing YouTube, of doing starting 2XU. It all really just started with me wanting to change my life, wanting to do something different after almost dying, and then taking that path moving forward as well.
Wow, that's great. Okay, now let's move on to being a leader. Let's focus on that. So for you, what are the values that a person must have in becoming a impactful or successful leader?
There's many, but I'll try to sum it up with three. First one that I really believe in is curiosity. So you, to be a really good leader, you need to be someone who's curious. That means you're open to new things. That means that you're open to solutions. Because when you aren't curious anymore, you stop growing. That's because one of the things that I believe in. So let's say that, like for me, I'm always being showed a lot of different things that I have no idea about, just because our assistants within our company are working with different clients who have different platforms or different sorts of business. So there's always going to be something that I don't know about that then is going to be like, I see it as an opportunity, like, oh, I can learn about this. So then I can help the assistant better with what they are doing. So like I said earlier, when you're a leader, you're the one who's a leader of a smaller group. You're kind of really more focused on the direct results. When you are the leader of a bigger group, you are now concerned. Your one thing is now shifting to helping the people who are underneath you, who are working with you, to get the results that they need. So that's one value that I really think is just big. If you want to be a really good leader, is just curiosity. Two is then you need to be someone who is trying to find the right term, but you need to be someone who is, the best term that I can think of is just ate. You kind of need mm-hmm. to care about people, but also give them space to grow. That's kind of the only thing that I can think of. I've been an ate my whole life. I am an ate to 3 other siblings. So, mm-hmm. and then 3 other siblings and then 9 other cousins. So I've always had that role in my life. So that's the easiest way that I can describe it. So you have to be curious. You have to be an ate. You have to think about what is the best way that I can support this person while giving them enough space to be able to decide for things themselves. And the last thing that I would say would make you a really good leader is also forgiving yourself. So a lot of the time when you are, I've done this myself, when you are CEO, when you are the head, when you are even just the group leader, you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you think that everything will reflect on you. But the truth of it is no one's going to tell a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when you make one small mistake. It's now right. up to you how you're going to rise above it. So that's a big thing, is you can only you can never pour from an empty cup. So you need to make sure to take care of yourself. So have empathy but for others, but have even greater empathy for yourself.
Yes, I agree. And yeah, actually, forgiving yourself and be kind to mm-hmm. yourself. It is true that when you're a leader, you just have too much pressure. You yep. overthink a lot. And when you make a mistake, parang it's the end of the world for you.
Yep.
And yeah, everyone exactly. can relate. And yeah, I super agree. One tip is to be kind to yourself and forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. So since you have a lot of experience about leading, can you tell me about the struggles and the challenges that you had?
The biggest one, and it's something that until this day, I still sometimes do struggle from time to time, is just, it sometimes is lonely when you're the leader, mostly because you are in the position where you're responsible for a lot of people. You are in the position where you are, even though you're not directly creating the results, you're still responsible. People still see you as the person like, oh, you know, we didn't make a lot of, this is more business. So we didn't make a lot of sales last quarter. And I know it's my fault because I could have, you know, I could have strategized more. I could have moved people better. So it's just that of the feeling that no one else is responsible for your own mistakes because you are the leader. You're the top person. So then the way that I've solved that is I'm transparent with people. Like when things are happening, when we, for example, when we lose a client, when a client is backing out, I tell people that just so they know what's happening. They're not shocked when things happen. The other way is taking a break is always, I have to keep in mind that I do have to take that time to step back so I can see things from a different perspective. And the last thing, which we already talked about, is just being kind to myself, is knowing that, you know, the saying that Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, nothing is really an overnight success. It's always like 5 years in the making. So that's kind of how I've been able to cope up with that struggle of just feeling really lonely a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's such a great advice also. I really agree to that as well. Since you're in a big company, you're the CEO and all that, how do you handle disagreements with your coworkers? Or how do you handle when they want to quit the job? How do you deal with that stuff?
So when there's a conflict, it's usually some sort of miscommunication. It was either a miscommunication of what the outcome was, what the goal was, or a miscommunication on whose responsibility was what. So usually when those things arise, I really ask like, okay, what was it that you saw? What was it the other person saw? And kind of trying to weave those two together, because usually like we have a lot of experiences. We have a lot of like our own history and our own prejudices that we forget that other people don't have, you know, what we believe. When I say jeepney here in the Philippines, we know what a jeepney looks like. But if you say it in the US, they'll see like just a Jeep, the big, you know, the big kind of hammer kind of Jeep.
Yeah, yeah.
So we always have a different, you know, we'll have, you know, I'll say a word and it's yours would, you know, I would say, when I say the word Jeep, you might be imagining a red Jeep. I'll probably be imagining a blue Jeep. So even if we have the same reference, we'll still imagine things differently. So that's the first thing that I always try to find when there's a conflict is find the clarity. Find where was it that you put a plus sign and you put a minus sign here. And then for whenever dealing with people who want to quit, one of our company values, and it's actually part of our, what we call a company oath, is we'll, as long as we cross paths, we'll take care of each other. So when people feel the need to quit, feel the need to leave, we kind of let them. It sounds sad, but the reality of it is that there will be a point where you want to explore other things. You want to find other things. You want to find something better for yourself. And I always respect that. But whenever people make that extra step of like, I don't think I'm a fit here anymore, I'm going to go, I'm like, okay, good. How can we make this transition better? Because I don't want to force people to stay here if they don't want to stay here anymore.
Correct. How do you collaborate effectively with all this online? Since you can't really go out and everything is online, how do you make sure that you're communicating effectively?
So one of the things that I make sure that I do anytime that we onboard a new employee is I have them chat me a lot. So I kind of have them practice of like, you have a question, chat me. You have a question, chat me. If there's anything that you think you can't handle by yourself, chat me. There is no right or wrong answers. If you're stuck, tell me you're stuck. Don't wait for me to find out that you're stuck. Basically, it's breaking the fear that they're in their head, and it's something that's common that I've seen, that they think that they're bothering me as the manager. But the reality is, I want to be bothered. I want to be asked questions, because then that gives me, that gives you, well, that gives the assistant the clarity to be able to move forward. So that's kind of the best thing, is just making sure that they feel that they can communicate with you at any time, even though you're not seeing them in person, you're not in an office together, because that just eliminates that, you know, work from home barrier, is knowing that, oh, at any time that I don't know anything, I can just ask my manager, I can just ask my boss, and they're actually more than happy to help me out.
Right. And it also relates to being curious. The more you're curious, mm-hmm. the more you
exactly.
learn. Right. And mm-hmm. what is your favorite thing and least favorite thing about being a leader?
So my favorite thing is actually whenever, and this is gonna sound a little bit funny, it's when people chat me, and then later on they'll chat me with a question, and later on they'll chat me because I didn't respond right away, or as in meeting they'll say, oh, never mind, I figured it out. That's actually one of my favorite things, is once they start getting more and more confident with their own skills, that they get to the point like, oh, okay, I can figure it out. So that's my favorite thing. My least favorite thing, would be the opposite. Whenever people don't tell me that they're struggling, when people don't tell me that there was something that they've been stuck on for about 3 days, it's kind of my least favorite. So they're kind of just polar opposites of the two.
Right, I super agree with that. Since I'm just new with being an intern, I actually have that same experience now, where I ask them a question and then a few minutes later, I just respond, "Oh, never mind, I figured it out already." And I didn't know it was a good thing, but how do you describe your leadership style, aside from being more curious, forgiving yourself and all that? In general, how, if you can sum it up, what is your leadership style?
I would call it just ate. That's just the easiest way that I, because it's a mix of, okay, so the biggest thing that I've learned managing, you know, at one point the publishing company had 30 employees. Now I have about 12 employees with the new agency. The biggest thing that I've learned is everyone will have a different leadership need, not style, leadership need. Like every employee will need a different kind of manager. So I had to really learn how to quickly cope and how to quickly guide people to the point where they, I call it, I have a term, but basically it's basically when they get to the point where they're just confident about themselves. And then at that point, I can kind of switch to my natural leadership style, which is usually called delegative style. That's kind of where I kind of shine. But at the first, I have to figure out like, okay, this person actually really likes, and I know people who likes being micromanaged, and that's how they start. And then later on, once they get to that confident point, I can go back to being delegative. So that's kind of the way that that's how I describe my leadership style. It's the same thing with my siblings or my cousins. Every one of them, I have a different way of talking, because then later on, they get to the point where they're confident, and I'm like, okay, cool, we're now friends, you know, let's get this done.
Right. I actually love that word, ate. It's like, when I hear that, it's like, you respect the person, but at the same time, they're very approachable and someone you can talk to anytime. So, yeah, it also goes with being a leader. You can just be an ad. I really love that. Do you have any tips to someone who is not confident enough, but they want to be a leader?
So, I have a few tips. One, being curious, study. There's a ton of leadership and business books that you can study, because one of the things that is scary about being a leader is when you don't have any idea what that looks like. So that's why I recommend studying, is then you have, even though it's not probably the pathway that will work for you, but someone else's formula. You have someone else's pathway of how they became a leader. So consuming content like books, like exactly your podcast is actually a very perfect example of that, is then they're seeing how other people are doing it, so then they can play around and find their own style. That's the first thing, is be curious. So study leadership books. My favorite book, and it's not a leadership book, but it's a how to treat people kind of book, is How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a really good book on just how to see people in a different way. The second way is to practice in small ways. Have, you know, just your friend group and then kind of lead them in that way. Or have, you know, there's church group, there's school group, there's a lot of different ways that you can practice how to become a better leader. And the last one is actually work on your communication skills. That's the biggest one that will help you become a better leader, is knowing how to communicate well. I remember when I was really awkward, and I used to say that I'm an introvert. I can't do this. I can't be a leader. You know, I can't really talk to people. And it's something that I had to develop to the point where I can kind of switch on and off the extrovert and the introvertness, depending on who I'm looking at and who I'm talking to. But my communication skills really had to improve. So I know that I am getting my point across. I know that there's not going to be any big miscommunication just because of the way that I said things.
Yeah, I think we have that in common. I'm actually very, very shy. And when I became the captain in my cheer team, and I became a student leader, a student server, all at the same time, it actually developed me also. So that being shy kid, it became to someone who's doing a podcast now. I mean, I never imagined myself talking to strangers, talking to random people. That was something I never thought I would do. But then, yeah, it's a process. And when you're in it, you get to develop that skill. So, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Before we end, I have two more last questions. For you, what is leadership?
So, leadership is getting, for me, the easiest way that I can probably describe it is getting people from point A to point B, especially when they don't know the path. So, when I became coach, when I started, was debating on starting a YouTube channel, why would people listen to me, blah, blah, blah. One person gave me the advice of, you don't need to know the whole path. You just need to be a few levels further than people. Yeah. So let's say people right now that I'm teaching are level one and I'm level four. That's enough. I'm getting them from point A to point B, and that's more than enough. So that's kind of how I really think about being a leader, is I'm literally just taking people from point A to point B. I might not know everything, but I'll figure out things with them. Okay. It doesn't have to be just a one-sided thing. And also making sure that they're still at the same time pursuing things that make sense for them.
Right. I super agree to that. And not because you're in a high position, not because you're a leader, that doesn't mean that your growth in the process stops there. As time goes, you're always in a process. You're always growing. And you might think that, oh, I'm the CEO or the leader of this organization or what. That's it. But then the reality of it is talaga that you're still growing and you're still trying to figure out who you are. And yeah, that's really great. And the last question I have, there's no right or wrong. Are leaders born or made?
Made. Definitely made. It's definitely something that if you are someone who wants to be, and if you're someone who you have no idea where to start, there's a path already. There's multiple people that you can look up to. Like I said, you know, study books, listen to podcasts. It's definitely something, it's a skill that you develop, kind of like most things in life. It's a skill that you can develop, that you can grow into. The biggest thing is just to keep in mind, what is the purpose of you being a leader? What is the vision that you have of why you even want to do this in the first place? A lot of people do get lost in it, and that's one of the reasons why it can become very stressful. But keep in mind, basically, your point B. You're helping people get from point A to point B. Keep in mind your own point B.
Yeah, I super agree. Like, diba, when I was a kid, I wasn't born a leader. It wasn't really myself talking to people. I'm such a shy person that my friends know that. But when they knew about this podcast, about me leading, it really made me to a different person, like literally a different girl. And yeah, maybe that goes the same for you as well. Yeah. Wait. Last pala, can you tell me about that process, that growth, being someone who has no knowledge or being a shy person to right now being the CEO of a company? That's really amazing. Can you tell me about it?
So a lot of it was studying. So kind of like most things in life that I always run to, what basically my anytime that I want to learn a new skill, I go into what is currently working right now. So for example, when I wanted to learn how to start a service-based company, I was researching other agencies. I was researching how other people do it. I asked a lot of my friends who already had their own service-based business. So that was the one of the first things that I always do, is I always see how other people are currently doing it, and keeping in mind that other people have gone through this as well. So if I do fail, there's other paths that I can take. So that was one, a lot of studying and a lot of finding mentors and researching people. Two was, for a while there, I actually took a I went to Toastmasters Club, the public speaking club where you learn how to talk, you learn how to be more confident about yourself. So that was the second part, was like I said earlier, I really had to learn how to hone my communication skills. It used to be that I was such a better writer than I was a speaker. If you were talking, like if we had this interview 4 years ago, I wouldn't be this smooth when it came to talking, because I was just so awkward about it. I was better at writing an email or creating a blog post rather than talking. So with that, I also did, I was doing, this is now more on how I grew my communication skills. I did one video a day for 110 days. That's how I'm better at speaking in English rather than speaking in Bisaya or Tagalog.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And then the third thing that I had to go through as part of the process was learning that I had to fail a lot. I had to fail a lot in being a leader. I have failed in making sure that when it comes to hiring, because I'm still in charge of hiring with my business, I had to keep in mind that the people that I have come into our company, I have to make sure that they want to be here and not just that they want to get a paycheck and then leave. Yeah. That's kind of one of the things that I had to really learn as a leader, was filtering people better. So then I know that the people who are here, they might not be here forever, but they're here to learn, they're here to grow. And then it was just a lot of trial and error from there, from after those three stages that I had to go through, you know, learning communication skills, knowing that I would fail. Then it was just a lot of trial and error of finding what works, what doesn't work. A lot of things that might work for me might not work for you. And it's always going to be that way for every single person that you meet.
Yeah. That's why it's also important not to put so much pressure onto yourself, because when you fail, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. And it's part. And it's better if you actually fail, because that's how you learn, right? And I learned so much from this episode. It may be short, but I learned so much. And for sure, I'll use the tips and the advice you gave when in the future. I'm for sure gonna always listen back to this episode and, this is how I become a better leader and all that. I really learned so much. Thank you for accepting the invite. Before we end, do you have anything more to say? Your YouTube, anything to promote? Go ahead.
Like you mentioned, I do have my YouTube channel where I teach people how to work from home, how to have a business working from home. I post videos every Sunday and Thursday. I'm also easily reachable on my Facebook. I have people who just randomly chat me like, hey, do you have any sites that you recommend on where I can apply for jobs? I do try to respond to every single message I get. And of course, on my Instagram. So all of them are just my name, Mian Laila Caba.
Yes, there you go. And I also put all her socials in the episode description. Check it out, because I actually listen. I watched some of your YouTube videos where you interview people as well. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
You should go check it out. And I had a really good time talking to you. Thank you so much for accepting the invite. Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel.
Thank you for listening to the Filipina Journey Podcast. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, please rate this podcast. It will really help me a lot. Follow this podcast on Spotify or wherever you're listening to get updated whenever I post a new episode. You can also support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help me sustain my future episodes. The link to support is on the podcast and episode description. If you have any questions and/or suggestions, you may contact me through my email, thefilipinajourney@gmail.com, or through Instagram, @thefilipinajourney or @isaveracruz, my personal IG account. You can also send a voice message through Anchor, that is anchor.fm/IsabelVC/message. The link is also on the episode description. That will be it for today. Let's talk soon. Bye-bye.